Blog Talk Radio.
Naked Shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Guys, hey, welcome to Iggy Garcia Live. I am Iggy Garcia. I want to welcome everybody to the show. Hopefully, you'll be able to spend the next 60 minutes with me here, just kind of hanging out and chilling and talking and just doing a few things. I want to say hi to everybody who's popping in here. So, hello, hello, waving back to you. We can say hi to Terry, Diane, Melissa, everybody who's coming on. So, hello, how are you? Good to see you. And welcome to my show. Welcome to my podcast, my live feed here. I try to do these shows live as much as possible because they're a lot more fun, a lot more entertaining when I can see interaction with people. And there you are. And I like to say hi to everybody. You know, I want to say hi to Mike, Kenneth, everybody who's popping in, Anita. And welcome, guys. Welcome. And I hope you've had a nice day. I've been kind of busy. Been kind of just doing little things here and there, making some sage sticks, just some of the stuff out of the garden that are left over. I didn't make a garden this year. I just let things grow naturally, just like if they were just out in nature. Just didn't feel like doing it, so no tomatoes, no corn, no nothing. Just everything that was planted 2-3 years ago is just still providing. And I have my, this is a smudge stick made out of wormwood, which is a milder smell, and then my sage stick. Smaller ones that I've been using. I've got some new ones, and you know, just trying to do all the things that we need to do today. Just trying to stay focused. The energies today have been a little bit bizarro world for me personally. I've been kind of feeling a little bit disconnected, some sense from my body a little bit, which is probably a normal thing. And I don't know. Just try to keep myself in line with stuff. My left ear, since as we're broadcasting, everything looks the opposite. You know, right here, it's been clogged up. It's like been, I haven't been able to hear out of it very well, and it's been kind of echoey or whatever, so I haven't really enjoyed that feeling. But I want to light a candle today, and this candle today is red. This candle is for love, sex, energy, and yeah, this is the Kundalini candle. So we're going to give thanks to spirit, give thanks to those who need it. And let me see if I have my lighter here. All right. Let that drop in there real quick. Put a couple drops in there. Let that settle in so I can stand the candle up. This candle will burn throughout the show. It's kind of giving us some. There we go. Nice. Now, don't you follow me. All right. For those of you who follow me on Facebook, you probably saw my post today. If you were either an empath, consider yourself empathic, or a light worker. I know some of you are kind of in between those two. You can kind of be an empath. You can be a light worker of the same. And some people just don't work that energy. So for those of you, hey, Joseph, I see you. And I sent you my phone number. So if you got it, if you're listening. And, so if you're empathic, you know, you have one way of feeling and accepting energy, bringing energy into you, or you can feel the energy in other people. Light workers are very similar to some degree, but they do it in a different way. So that's going to be another show, but I just wanted to bring that out to you a little bit. So we're going to light this real quick. And those of you who've never burned wormwood, it's really gentle. Very cleansing, very purifier. It is part of the sage family, for those of you who were not sure of wormwood. Wormwood helps bring in calming energies versus, you know, where we use sage to move negative energy out to cleanse and purify the space. I'm going to burn some of that too. Need that a little bit. There we go. It's a spot. And the two mixed together, it smells so great. Hey, Don, how you doing? See you there. So the wormwood, for those of you who grow wormwood and use it, you can actually, it's one of the ingredients they use in Absinthe, which is a drink they make out of licorice and wormwood, which helps you travel a little bit, for those of you who have used it. But in this case, the wormwood is actually good for when you drink it into a concoction like a tea. It's good for your body. It helps remove parasites out of your system. It helps move the little critters that you don't need. They don't like it. I made a little bit of today, made out of wormwood, mint, and all the nice concoction there to move all that energy. Yeah, wormwood, just like it sounds, wormwood. It's really pungent. It's not, when you burn it, it's not pungent, but it's really, really bitter when you eat it. Like when you taste it, it's like nasty. You know, so you can only take a little bit at a time. Only when you drink that wormwood, you know, you have to be very, very small amounts. Plus, you don't do it all the time. Now, you can burn this all day long, though. This does give you a calming feel. It does relax you. It does make you feel, you know, just want to relax and just mellow out. So if I mellow out a little bit, I apologize. No, I don't apologize. It's the wormwood. The wormwood working its magic, Mother Earth's magic. So run that around. Feels good. Smells good. If you never smelled it, it's a pretty unique smell. Pretty powerful. Yeah, smell that wormwood. Just bring some calmness. Add a little sage to go along with it. Along with my wormwood. Just burn away all that negativity. Just cleanse yourself with the sacred smoke. So good. Yeah. I like that. It's nice. So we're going to do here. I'm going to try to attempt to do multitask things as we're progressing on this show. For those of you who were here last week, you got to do a little bit of a meditation. So we're going to do that today too, but not so deep. We're going to, since our topic is, man, my headset's kind of screwed up. Hold on a second. 1 second. It's bugging me. Check this out. Whoa. All right. Well, there we go. Okay. Okay, I'm back. Hey, what's going on? Iggy here. No, I'm just, anyhow, we're going to do a little sound meditation for those of you who would like to do that. Because it's really fun and it's really nice. Okay, let that load real quick. There we go. Nice. Sharon, how are you? Okay, everybody. So, our topic today, for those of you who remember from the show, time travel. That's what we're going to talk about today a little bit at some point in the show. For those of you who are not familiar with time travel, it is something that we've usually talk about on this show quite frequently. And I really enjoy the topic of time traveling because it's close to my heart. And I'm going to get a nice tone in here for us to use. I like that. Very good. All right, my friends. So how's everybody doing today? Just push in there in the comment section. Let me know how you're doing, what's going on. So today we're going to talk a little bit about just being able to meditate and to be able to step into that zone, that place that you need to be. Time travel is kind of like that. This is a different way. Meditation is a form of taking yourself into a different place and time. Okay, for those of you who are not familiar with time travel. Time travel is something that many science fiction movies have been made of, about. Man has a fascination with time travel for some reason. There's a part of man who just enjoys time travel, you know, and man's desire to make things right or perceive things right has always put him or her on that quest to go back into time. But the thing is about it, time, as we know, is very linear. Okay, so this, we have this band. Just imagine this string across the table or a line. Birth, there's life, the life you live, and then there's death. And that's pretty linear. That's linear time. So that's the time that we're all part of. We're all involved with that 3D world, that 3D, you know, incarnation. And then there's all kinds of other time, you know, forms. There's 4D worlds where, you know, that's space and time. So there's different times where you can have a set of twins, for example, who live on, one lives on Earth, one travels outer space and goes, is gone for some time, traveling through space and returns back to Earth at a certain moment in time. And the twin that lived on the Earth is much older than the twin, or physically looks older. They're the same age, but they come back. One's still young and one's old. So that's space time travel. So it's a fascinating topic for me. I really love the topic of time travel, just trying to do and trying to make things right. And, you know, really, you can't necessarily do it in the sense of in the capacity where man has created a machine where you can step back into time and create that I'm aware of. I could be wrong, but, you know, there is this desire to fix things. So I am here to tell you that in order to fix things, first you have to know if there's actually a problem. Okay, so sometimes in man's quest to change and create and do new things, man fumbles and goofs up and then, you know, makes things worse. You know, you probably have seen articles of where someone wanted to go back time and assassinate Hitler, and or kill Hitler, or kill Hitler when he was a baby, you know, make sure he was born. But, you know, for some reason, the timeline, the continuum that we create in this world, you know, creates these paradoxes where, you know, we're not able to do certain things. And so physically, maybe we're not able to move through space and time, but energetically we can. Energetically, we can change things. We can actually be in multiple versions of our lives all the time. And for most of us, we probably aren't aware that, you know, moving through time is actually moving through parallel versions of our lives, parallel versions of who we are, versus necessarily actually moving into another time zone. But we actually move into an existence of who we believe who we are. Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, versus, you know, actually stepping to a machine, which I love. I love the concept, and I get the concept. You know, Back to the Future was a good example about that, where Marty McFly wanted to create, he didn't create it, you know, Doc Brown did. He wanted to go back in time, and he wanted to fix things with his father. His father was actually, you know, kind of a nerdish guy, you know, and then so he travels through time and tries to correct things and make things right, or tries to alter the timelines and tries to alter things and give advice to himself quite, you know, in a certain way, but it doesn't always work. So, you know, I want to say hi to Jan there, and hi to Karen, and everybody who's popping in and out. So I apologize if I don't say hi. So you know, for example, and then in the story of Back to the Future, you know, Marty wants to go make things right, make some amends with his family. And, you know, in the process of doing that, you know, you're wondering if he actually is going back in time. If you're able to go back and say, hey, to yourself, you need to do this so you can move into the time. And does it change? We don't know. But we do talk about parallel universes. There are different versions where you can actually stream and slip into the streams of time, where you can actually come back into a version of something that you wanted to change. But my belief is that if when you slip into that time, into that little gap, into that little place, into another parallel, that means there's another parallel version of whatever you left behind that is left with a void. But the universe will always fill that void regardless. It will always come back, and it will always attempt to patch it with something else. So whatever you left, because if you're the main prime principle traveling through the parallel universes of time, you're the one who's actually going to be replacing and moving. So sometimes we talk about physics where, you know, two objects can't occupy the same space at the same time. So as we move through time and we pick into parallels of ourselves and different versions of the universe that we exist in, for those of you who believe this, you know, We're actually crossing these timelines. You know, there are many Native American beliefs that we live on a linear line, and that line is our destiny. But from those destinies, our experiences shoots off. It shoots off, and then as we move through the time, as we slip down into this particular branch, we're still moving. That one above us is still continuing to move. That timeline that we left continues to move forward with its players and with its occupants and everybody who's moving through that. But we're in a different decision. We made a different choice. So actually, parallel time, parallel universes is about making decisions. It's about making that decision to do something different. Just the sheer thought of doing something, you know, changes that. Now, so how do we move through time while we're here in this present moment? How do we go from here to there? How do we go? How are we able to communicate with ourselves in the future? I believe that time, in the linear time, we are existing child, present moment, Iggy ready to die. And I believe all those versions are able to communicate at some level. But maybe not in the beginning, maybe not at the end, but maybe in the middle somewhere, we're able to go, okay, I need to communicate with myself in the future, communicate with myself in the past. Excuse me. And this is possible. This can be done. Just by sheer thinking it, just sheer thought and decision to say, I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to talk to my young version of me and correct things. Now, the time that you lived back then is complete. It's done. But you can rewrite that time. You can actually go back and rewrite that story, rewrite that history, and travel back through written page, through spoken word. You can go back and fix things. It may not be congruent with you, may not resonate with that, but you can. You can actually go back and fix things that have happened to multiple generations. And this picks up from the show from last week. You can actually go back, right? And you can actually fix things by traveling into the spiritual, the metaphysical time continuum, okay? Where space and time exist in a way that we don't have that linear thinking, where you can actually go back. Have you ever had a dream that was so real? And when you're in that dream, you feel like everything is like you're there, like you're part of it. And sometimes we dream and we're just the observer and we watch things happening and playing out. But you ever had that dream where you don't see yourself? Because when you're dreams where you see yourself, you're observing a memory and an event and something that happened to you. Okay, so you're replaying something. You're trying to rewrite that story. But there are dreams where you can actually sit in the crevice of that dream, and you can actually feel that you're there. You don't even see yourself. You only see like your hands, like you do now, like when you put them in front of you. This holographic universe that we exist. You know, because I'm doing this right now, putting my hands in front of me. And that's all I see. But when I look in the screen in front of me, where I'm video, you know, the video is recording me for this live stream, I can see myself, my hands moving. The thing about it is, from here, from my vantage point where I'm at, I can't see anything behind me, okay, until I look into the screen. But it's happening. It's existing. Regardless if I am deciding to just look at my hands and observe my hands, whatever's behind me, whatever's moving on around me, all around me is existing. And it's doing its thing. It moves regardless if I do or don't. So even if I become stationary in this present moment in time, if I'm just right here, you know, the universe still continues doing its thing. It doesn't wait for you because it doesn't like a void. The universe does not like a void, so it fills it with things. It fills it with books, tapestries, you name it. It'll fill it. It doesn't like to see emptiness. So when we're time traveling, in the theories of time travel, time is an illusion. Time is not a measurement like we have here on Earth. Time is a measurement. So we measure time. We measure distance with that. And by using that, we create these formulas and these places, and and that's how we break down, we understand. Now, if I wanted to travel to a younger version of myself, even an older version of myself, all I would have to say is speak whatever I'm speaking today so I could hear it later, and that will catch up with me. Once my frequency has been created, once I've created that frequency travels through time, forwards and backwards, up and down and all around. Because everything we speak is recorded by the universe. The universe records that. Okay? Now, are there multiple versions of myself, multiple parallel universes? it depends where your belief system is. In my universe, in my the world that I live inside my head and how I project outwards, I believe there are multiple versions of myself, multiple places, multiple feelings. And I think sometimes they do cross. They do merge in between within themselves. Because sometimes I feel so different one day, and some days I feel like I don't even know who I am. I don't know. Sometimes I'm a little confused of why I'm feeling a certain way. Some days I wake up and I feel like I'm 10 pounds lighter, which is kind of bizarre because, you know, you shouldn't be 10 pounds lighter, you know, and you can burn weight in bed, but that doesn't usually always happen. So there are these markers, and there are these things that will show you, and they will present themselves to you as you're moving through, you know, the space-time continuum like we do. Our planet moves very quickly, very fast, okay, and spins around the sun, okay, and our moon follows along with us. All those things happen all the time. So can you go back in time and change things? Absolutely, you can. Do you want to go back in time and change things? That's up to you. I can't really tell you if that's where you want to be or how you want to be, but you can. You can go back in time and correct things that have happened. Now, the memories may still be with you. The memories may stay with you. The memories may not, might change slightly. But you don't have to own that anymore. You don't have to be in that energy anymore where you're a victim or you've been victimized or whether it was a tragic event. The way we rewrite it is basically up to us. For those of you who have never really followed, you know, fantasy movies, for example, there's The Neverending Story. There's many books when I was going in school where you could change the ending of the story however you want it to be. You can actually go back and they had multiple chapters, ending chapters where you can read it. There's even books where you can actually write the ending for the story. So it's really simple. And I know it's not so easy for a lot of people who have gone through a lot of stuff, but you don't have to live in that place where you want to. You don't have to feel that you have to go back in time and change things unless you really truly have to. Because if you went back in time and let's just say you wanted to do something away with somebody in your family who, you know, this is the reason why you're born. For example, your grandfather. You want to go back and you want to kill your grandfather or avoid from being born. Then that means you technically wouldn't be born unless he wasn't really your grandfather. So those are the crazy things when you start thinking about time travel, you know. And it's kind of crazy. It's one of those things where, you know, it kind of blows your mind sometimes when you start to think about it. You know, your destiny, no matter where you are, where you go, will always play out. You will die. It doesn't matter how far in the future you go or how far back in the past you go. You still have the destiny to die physically, our bodies. But our spirit and our soul, that never dies. So everything that we are today is part physical, part spiritual. Okay? It's a twofold system here. They work together. This is the vessel that we chose to come into and incarnate and to travel and to explore. So we're exploring here and we're feeling here exactly what we need to feel. Okay. I heard a quote the other day from somebody that says, you know, this is my temple. It's more like an amusement park than anything. And I'm not sure who said that quote, but I never looked it up, but I want to give credit to whoever said it. But I thought it was kind of funny, you know. You can look at yourself, you can look at your temple, you can look at your spiritual side of yourself and see how you want to look at it, how you want to observe it, how you want to feel it. It's really, really, really up to you. It really depends. So I try to look at myself, you know, as I travel through the different versions of myself every day. You know, it's just the way it is. Our bodies, physical bodies, you know, the body I have today is not the same body I was born with. The only part of me that's actually the same, that still kind of remains almost exactly the same, is my heart. The heart is the only muscle, I believe, that only stays the same till the day you die. Every other part of you has regenerated and recelled and has made. You know, we're designed, you know, physically to actually break down at some point. It has its purpose, and it uses its purpose, and our purpose is to take the vehicle as far as we can take it. Now, for those of you who believe in karma and believe in reincarnation and you know, past lives, you come back, you can actually bring back the coded information that you have through your spirit and through your soul. And you reincarnate and you do it again and again if you choose. Some of us may not want to come back. Some of us may come back. I don't know what how many times I've been here, but it's been sometimes it feels like a lot, lots of times. But, you know, there's obviously a message and there's obviously something we have to learn from this. That's why we're here. We're all here in this this space and time, this moment in time here on Facebook. Something that we help create, all of us help create. We all help create this incarnation of Facebook somewhere through time as we travel through the many lives that we wanted to find better ways to communicate, better ways to talk to ourselves, better ways to leave messages for our future. One of the biggest things is, you know, to be able to leave a legacy is to write something and leave something behind. Now we have videos, audios, recordings, and all these different things that happen. You're able to share and manifest and create all those things. So time travel is definitely possible. You can actually project into the future. You can actually leave a message for yourself from today to later and watch it later, or leave a message to your ancestors who are here to come. Tell them a story about yourself. Then it would explain a lot about who they are as well, as your genetic makeup is passed down from generation to generation to generation. And that's usually how it works. You know, that's usually how it works. That's usually how you continue. And that's how your legacy continues. Now, even if you perished and even if you died and you didn't have any children, you will still create legacy regardless, even if you return back to the earth. You know, you return back to the mother, you return back to her, you will always, always, always be with her. It's not like you just disappear and you're gone. Excuse me. You don't just disappear, and that's just not it. It's not that infinite. Now, for those of you who have a religious tone, who believe they know in religious, you know, scriptures and stuff, then you have your belief systems of where you're going to go and how you're going to be. That's where you take it. That's where your energy resonates. That's where your energy intent follows. That intention follows that energy. So you believe in the hells and you believe in the heavens and all those things. That is creation. You are manifesting and creating that. And through your travel through time, that's where you're preparing yourself to go. I personally don't believe in heaven or hell. I don't believe that, you know, it's that absolute. I believe that there is a creator. I believe there's someone who, you know, who had a grand design and designed everything and makes us. I believe in, you know, the great prophets. I believe in all of the spiritual beings that come through here. I do. But I don't believe personally, because I don't want to believe. Maybe part of me doesn't want to believe in a hell. Part of me doesn't believe that, you know, that there is something that I'm going to be burned internal. I personally don't resonate with that. I don't feel that's where I want my body to go or feel, you know, excuse me. But some of us do. Some of us feel that way. Some of us feel that's where we need to go and that's what's going to happen. And that's creation. That's you creating your reality. That's you creating the things that resonate with your ideas. So I encourage you to think about, you know, the things you do and how you want to do and where you want to be, how you want to grow, how you want to manifest, how you want to create. Because we are co-creators in what we do. Now, the co-creation can be difficult at times because we may not have the ideas or the foresight to see things maybe the way others may see it. But I guarantee you, when you do a little bit of work and you work on it, you can. Now, time travel. Now, you want to go back in time and you want to heal pieces and parts of yourself, the parts that are damaged, the parts that are wounded. It's easy. It's very easy, but you'll have to find key players in your own spirit, your inner spiritual path, who you are, how you see yourself, to help you move through that energy. For example, if we want to go back into time, we want to heal an 8-year-old kid, maybe the 51-year-old Iggy is not the prime candidate for that. Maybe Iggy needs to incorporate someone with a little more, you know, mellowness, a little bit more excitement, a little bit more, you know, hey, 18-year-old Iggy, why don't you talk to 8-year-old Iggy? You know, you have to take yourself back into time at the 18, okay, and you look at yourself as an 18-year-old person. You're much different. You're the same person to some degree, but you're much different also. Your ideas, your thinking, much different. You're able to communicate with this 8-year-old child, this 8-year-old version of you who's frozen in time. Okay, so basically we're traveling back into time. So we ask 18-year-old Iggy, hey, 18-year-old Iggy, I need a favor from you. I need you to talk to 8-year-old Iggy because, you know what, he doesn't really listen to 51-year-old Iggy. He doesn't trust, you know, adult figures, but maybe he'll trust a younger adult version of himself. And I've done this with clients and I work with them. You know, we're going back into time and we're traveling and we're writing stories. But are we really rewriting stories? Or are we just listening to the pieces and parts that weren't listened to when we were younger? A lot of times we don't listen. You know, we're not heard. And so what happens when we're not heard, then we play out, we act aloof, you know, we act defiant, we do the things that, you know, cause us to feel a certain way. So as I talked to eight-year-old Iggy may just wanted to be heard, just wanted a hug, you know, but at that time he didn't know how to express himself or express himself to mom or dad or whoever, you know, needed to be the expression needed to be projected to. But either way, that's what we try to do. That's what we try to manifest, working for the pieces and parts. Now, I love time travel because in time travel, you can actually go and create things as well. You can create your destiny. You can create your future. You can create those things going forward. Now, from here, from where I'm at 51 years of age, Iggy, human being, Iggy, this guy right here, I can actually go back and reflect on all the things and how I worked those patterns and those parameters before me and go, well, maybe I should do things a little bit different now. So I can actually move forward in time and give myself advice, work with myself. You know, some of us call it goal setting, some of us call it plan of action. Regardless, we have to hear what we have to say, and we have to learn from others as well. Okay, so we'll burn a little more wormwood here for those of you who came in a little bit later. Burning a little wormwood for calmness. Very good. I like it. A little bit of sage. So, time travel is possible. Yes. And, you know, we time travel all the time. You know, people don't even realize it sometimes. Us walking to the store, you know, and it takes us 30 minutes. Us driving to the store, it takes us 10 minutes, you know. Us, we're able to fly to another foreign country and be there in a matter of 5 hours versus being on a boat would take you a week, for example. It's time travel. The faster we accelerate the measurement and the movement of time to get us to point A to point B is time travel. You're reducing the slippage of time where you get there faster. As soon as you get there quicker, you're there faster. So you're there in the moment. So it's pretty amazing now that my daughter, she's always a day ahead of me. So today's Monday, she's already in Sunday. So I find it really fascinating that she's almost 13 hours ahead of me, and yet she's in a whole different time, so a whole different place, and a whole different, she's already lived pieces and part of her yesterday, of my today. And I find that pretty amazing. But when we come to the moment where time is an illusion, here's where time is an illusion. Here's a good example when time's an illusion. She calls me. I call her today. Like if I was to call her right after the show at 9 o'clock, she would be around 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So at that moment, we've defied the illusion of time. We've broken it down. It doesn't exist now. It doesn't exist because we're both in the present moment communicating together without asking her, hey, what time is it? What day is it? It doesn't matter because in that moment, it doesn't exist. It's not there. It doesn't happen. It's not real. It's not true. That's how you know. The only time it's real is when we're actually living in it and we're actually partaking in it and we're actually floating in that measurement of time. So when my daughter and I are overseas, and she's overseas in South Korea and she's talking to me, the illusion is that she's far away, but she's not. She's no different if she was down the street from me, calling me on the phone. Because the only time we gauge time is when we look at our watches and when we think. But if I talk to my daughter if she was down the street on the phone, she would still be traveling through the circuitries of these cell phones and through the airwaves and through the Wi-Fi and everything that defies time. So she's here in the instant present moment. So the only true thing that we truly have, okay, as we work through this time continuum and this time, you know, illusions that we saw is the moment. So if we didn't have a measurement of time, the only thing we would have is true moment. True moment is where we're at, is where we always will be. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow is gone, okay? But today is later, but it's now. It's where we're at. And you know, that's why you hear people say, well, you got to live in the now. You got to live in the moment. I get that. But time doesn't see us the same way as we see time. Because time doesn't exist like that. Time doesn't go, oh, hey, wait, you know, you're 13 hours away. The only person he sees 13 hours away is me or my daughter. Okay? It's like people who live on the West Coast. You know, they're 3 hours difference. Then you have Central Time and all these different times. But that just gives you, that gives you a realization how big things are. You know, how big the Earth is. How big, you know, we are on this planet. And it gives you the realization that, you know what? Where you're at is the best moment and the best time to actually engage in creating your life, creating your moments, creating your abundance, creating all the things that you want to create. Because really, there is no tomorrow. Okay? Because tomorrow doesn't really truly happen until we get there. And once we get there, it's the moment. So we keep repeating those paths. And then whatever we did yesterday, whatever I did 35 minutes ago is over. It's technically gone. It's recorded in the historical data banks of the universe. Other than that, in my memory, I couldn't tell you exactly what I did from the beginning of the show and how the show started unless I had to really think about it or how many breaths I took, whatever. But the only thing I know is that I'm here right now. Okay, as I'm traveling through the, through moments in time, as I'm traveling through this computer screen and through this frequency and this vibration. Remember, I talked about vibrations last week, okay? And I'm vibrating through your channel. I'm vibrating through these wires. I'm moving through time and space at a rapid speed, at a rapid, you know, pace that you can't even know. I'm in two places at the same time. I'm actually in multiple places at the same time. Okay, now, remember the parallel universes? I am actually at my desk. I'm actually in Beverly's computer, Connie's computer, Kevin's computer, anybody who's watching, okay? The 126 people who viewed this, I am multiplying myself exponentially through these parallels of dimensions and these different aspects of how you vibrate and attract. So now we've attracted each other to this place, but I have you individually, okay? I'm still, Justin, it is a paradox. That is correct. It is a paradox. Jan had pointed that out. And that paradox, okay, is sometimes very confusing. So I'm in multiple places at the same time at this as I speak right now. I'm in parallel universes. I'm in someone's computer. I'm on someone's phone. Is that me? So the true question is that me? Or is it the frequency of me? The frequency of sound, the frequency of vision. What are you actually seeing? Or what are you actually hearing? What have you invited into your life to listen to? So the time, the illusion of time doesn't exist because some of you are in different time zones than I am. Okay? But in that present moment, in that paradoxical moment in time where we come together, we've all come together. I don't see you, but you see me. So that's the advantage you have. You see me, I don't see you, but I know you're there because I have to have faith and I have to believe that you're there on the other side. Or I'm just talking to just random air. But I'm not talking to random air. Regardless of what I speak, it goes out to the universe. But I am traveling through multiple channels, multiple frequencies, even bumping into frequencies, bumping into all kinds of stuff. My signature, my frequency is bouncing throughout space and time, through in the linear time. I'm everywhere, as you are too. When you send your texts, you're everywhere at the same time. So I find it really fascinating when we talk about time travel, because time travel is one of those things that, you know, it's a holographic universe. It's very holographic. And so right now what I'm describing to you is a version like a CD-ROM. If you were to break that CD-ROM into multiple pieces, okay, that lasered imprinted ROM, you would have multiple pieces of information, multiple pieces scattered through, and they would all have the same exact information recorded and dated on it. Okay? So you, right now, and that's what I'm doing right now as well, traveling through time. I'm traveling through time and space right now as I talk to you on your computer screens and on the radios or who you're listening to. And those fragments of me are everywhere, repeating and duplicating in themselves into multiple versions of who I believe I am. Okay? So quantum physics always talks about that. You know, the observer can change things. You know, the observer is able to see something and completely change it. And two protons can be in multiple universes at the same time. but yet they're the twins of themselves. Okay, so that's a whole nother show, but we'll get that into later. But time travel is really funny because, you know, it's that easy, it's that fast, and it's that quick. It's that fascinating. It puts us in a frame of mind that, you know, it's just, who blows your mind? There's so much you can do, so many things you can think about when you're talking about it. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen these YouTube videos where they show the actors of today and they show people's pictures of yesterday. They were just usually black and whites. And then you look at them, they looked exactly like the people who, like, for example, Johnny Depp. There's a picture of Johnny Depp and this guy from the 1800s looks just like Johnny Depp. I mean, identical. Maybe he looks like him. No, he looks like him. You know, there's many things like that. And then you're wondering, but is that guy related to Johnny Depp? Not necessarily, but that's a prime example that our universe crosses. Our universe is exponential. It grows and keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. So there are versions of us who have lived multiple lives, and these are good examples. You may not remember all these multiple lives that you remember. You know, you'd probably go crazy if you did, but you remember fragments and pieces and parts of it, kind of like this show. You always remember pieces and parts and fragments of the show, unless you go back and listen. Even if you went back and listened, you're always going to remember the pieces and parts and the fragments of the show. You're always going to remember something's going to always stand out over something else. That's why information is valuable. That's why information you have to write down. That's why you have to observe, and you have to observe and observe. So time travel is just really how we see our present moment, how we see the past, how we're going to project into the future. Okay, has man time traveled? Maybe man has found a way to use his brain or her brain in a way where we can consciously move our consciousness through time and space in a way that can occupy a vessel that has either been lost, a vessel could share a vessel temporarily. I believe that we do know how to do that. We have come back to a remembrance, and we're doing that again, where we can actually sit and we can actually meditate and be in two places at once. I don't know if any of you guys, and you guys just let me know, raise your hands, if you've ever been with a group of people and they go, "Hey, Iggy, thanks for coming. I appreciate you being there. You know, it was fun to see you there." And then you're going, you shake your head and you're going, "Okay, wasn't there." But somehow, some way, you were. Okay, I have documentation of this, and that's the only reason I would even bring it up, where people have told me that they would thank me for being at their event or being there present, and I haven't been there. I have friends who have been to my events, people who had all the intentions to show up, and then when I said thank you to them for being there, they go, "Iggy, I didn't go. I wasn't there." But yet, it still happened. My favorite one is when I had surgery about 15 years ago. You know, I remember all these people who weren't there. My mind created stories and synapses of these things, or maybe my mind brought my consciousness, since I'm in the state of relaxation and totally out of it, maybe I was able to connect with their consciousness in order to meet them and see them in a place where they were able to come visit. I've had many people who said, I always thank them. I said, "Thanks for coming to visit me at the hospital. I really appreciate it." And they feel so embarrassed. Like, "Oh, Iggy, we didn't make it. We couldn't come if something came up." And I'm going, "Damn, I could have swore you were there because we were having a conversation. You know, I was talking to you." And I was like, and they're like, you know, they look at you like, "Well, maybe it's just the drugs." Maybe the drugs in that time, maybe they helped me relax a little bit and put me in a place, in a state of mind where I could travel outside of my physical body. Okay, and I can actually just be able to go and project to wherever I needed to be. There's so many mysteries of the universe, so many mysteries of ourselves that we still don't understand. There are things that we still don't understand how we do it sometimes and how we are able to do it. You know, sometimes we call it intuition. Sometimes we call it sixth sense. Sometimes we just call it, you know, whatever it is, divine inspiration. But I believe that in certain moments when we're in this right environment and we're in the right situations, we have these moments of inspiration, these moments of these intuitive charges, these empathic travels, you know, this light traveling moment where we're there. I do it. I know you've done it. Many of you have done it multiple times. I just know that you have, because if I've done it, that means someone else has been able to do it. And we all have countless stories of things where we've been places and seen things, and that we can't explain how we saw it, but yet we have some kind of conscious, you know, signature to a certain degree. I remember my friend Jan was telling me a story about her and her kids were traveling through the Grand Canyon, if I'm not mistaken, and the only thing I think she said to her kids was, if you guys see this little cabin with a patch of grass, you know, let me know. And the kids were going, we're on this bumpy road, and they're like, whatever, mom. Probably had that kind of have that feel that when she was telling the story, like they thought maybe she had lost it or something. But and then one of her kids just like, stop, there it is, right there. And you know, and she tells they find this cabin on this patch of grass, just how she described it. How did she know? How was she able to see that? Was she projecting into the future? Was she able to go out of her body? Was she able to go into a time stream, pick up a time stream? And I have to say yes to everything that is. We still don't understand. We still don't know how things happen, but they do happen. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's not for us to understand. It's just for us to observe and to play witness to. And sometimes playing witness to things is probably just as important as actually partaking in them. So I love that story when she told me that story, because that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty neat. And I have countless stories like that too. But time travel is just understanding being here, being in the moment, that things are not how they seem. That sometimes when, you know, we wake up, boom, there we are. You know, and our bodies are just like the car, man. We're able to move and travel. We're able to move and travel through this body. Okay. So what I would like to do now, take you guys and just into a little meditation, a little guided meditation, just to relax. I know we've talked a lot about time travel here. And for some of you, it's going to be clear. And for some of you, it's not. But I just want you to take a moment and just think about what I said. And think about the possibilities of what may be or could be. Because, you know, it's not difficult to do the things we do in this world. Sometimes we make it difficult when we put the parameters of ego into play with us. You know, our ego does have and does serve purpose. But, you know, there's so much more to us than just ego. There's so much more to us than just the flesh that we see in front of us. And we're constantly trying to communicate to ourselves and to calibrate ourselves and to be in the place we need to be. So I want to take this time just to kind of get you guys. Just want you to take a moment. Just want you to relax, take a couple deep breaths. And I just want you to just listen to the sounds in the background. The birds, the ocean waves. Just listen. Listen to the sound of the ocean rolling back and forth. We know that time is an illusion, and sometimes it's unexplainable. That as we travel through time, and we travel through the illusions of time, and the memories that follow with that, take a moment to take a deep breath, and just embrace the journey. Be thankful for the journey that you've been given. For this journey is your own personal journey. Nobody else will have a journey like yours. And your journey is to dictate it, to rewrite it, to share it, even to hoard it, and to keep it inside your spirit and your soul. But as we travel through past, present, and moment, think of all the infinite possibilities that you can create by sheer word, by saying yes, by saying no. And as you travel through your past, like cave paintings, you see the stories written. And you can take that story and rewrite that story, repaint that, rewrite that, by moving that energy from the past to the present moment, will shift and change how you feel about yourself. And now that you're in the present moment, you're able to feel the energy moving through you, vibrating, pulsating as you change the story from the past, as you rewrite that story. And in your present moment, you're aware of everything around you, everyone around you, all the things around you. And it all feels good. As you observe the things that are right in front of you, you give thanks and give gratitude for all the blessings and all the gifts that you've been given in your life, for even the ones that feel hard and dark were also lessons for you to learn, lessons for you to process, lessons for you to take in, as you have received the good lessons as well. For now you have stories that you can share with others so they can have a little bit of an easier ride in their moments in time. And as you project your moments into the future, you take with you the knowledge that you've gained, and you share that with present. Into the future, you project the feelings that you have in the present moment of how you would like things to occur, how you would like things to happen, how you are painting or writing a picture of what the future will look like for you. And that is the whole story about being present in the moment, is preparing yourself for the future, which becomes that moment. And in that moment, in that instant when you arrive, you're able to observe, able to see, able to indoctrinate into your system, into your belief. And again, you prepare the next future, the next story, the next chapter, the next segment of your life by projecting into the future, bringing back the pieces and parts with you, sharing with that. So when you arrive to the present moment, you're there with all the things that you need and all the things you need to observe with. Now, as you come to the place where you're final breath will be, you can reflect back and you can look and you can see the tapestry that you've created and helped co-create with others and with Creator. And you can look and you can say, I gave it my best. I did my best, and I'm grateful and honored for what I have. I'm grateful for the memories and the friends and the situations, good and bad, that came through my life. For those help mold me. Those help guide me. Those help bring me to the place I am today. And with your last breath, you prepare to travel through time in space. You begin your journey so you'll be ready for the next time you return, the next time you're reborn, the next time you take a breath. But in the preparation, you smile. You hug all the versions of yourself. You give thanks to the Great Spirit for this wonderful journey, this wonderful vision of what can be and what will be. And I return backwards to time, back to the place where I am now sitting, in the place where I am now observing, in the place where I'm now present, the place where I feel safe in this present moment in time. And I'm returned back to 8:55 p.m., 6/4/2018, to the place of where I've collected the pieces and the parts that I need to move forward, and the things that I need to forgive myself for and forgive others. So we're grateful for the gifts of spirit. We're grateful for the ideas and the beliefs that are given to us, where we're able to change them anytime we want. So with that, we're just back home. Oh. Felt good. I hope you liked that. I hope you were able to feel something and move something energy for you. Meditation is very good and very powerful. It heals your mind. It heals your spirit. It heals your soul. It helps you feel. It helps you also create when you're having moments of you can't create. And that's what's so important about being able to do meditation and being able to go into those places and spaces of in ourselves, through ourselves, with ourselves. For those of you who were meditating, you probably didn't feel like you were even physically present in that space. You're like you were somewhere else. That's the whole point of where we live in this holographic universe. You know, we are reflections of how we see ourselves and how others project upon us. So how we project on other people is just as important as how they project onto us. What we do with those projections is solely up to us and how we're going to navigate through life. Now, life is beautiful. Life is amazing. Life can be whatever you want it to be. But I can only tell you that you'll have to take the steps. You'll have to move forward. You'll have to go into the space and the place that's important for you. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Good to be here because you know what? When we're in the present moment, we can see what's in front of us, then it's good for us to be here. And that's my mantra, to respect and honor what we have right in front of us. We do grieve about what happened in the past, and we project of things we would like to see better in the future. But they only happen is when we're in the present moment, and we prepare in this moment to get us into the action plan when we arrive to that space and time through the illusionary mind of ourselves when we get there. And you'll have to do it multiple times, probably. But today is where you prepare. Today is the place where you navigate and you create. So I encourage you and I invite you to do the best you can with the tools you have. Okay, because that's all we can all ask of anybody, you know. And yes, Connie, life is good. And life is good as you want it to be. So put out to the world what you want to receive. There'll be some resistance at first. But without resistance, you'd never know that you're doing the right thing. So my friends, be well. I will see everybody on Thursday. Okay, we'll talk. That show will be about how to become a shaman. Okay, for those of you who are interested in the story of how shamans become shamans, I guess it's just a word, it's just a name, you know, or how to become a medicine person or an empath or a light worker. Either way, take care, my friends. Have a great, great, great evening. Be well, take care of each other, love each other, and I will see everybody later on this week. And peace and love, and we are out of here.